Welcome to the program. Joining me now, Grace Killalay. We're going to talk about her fabulous, fairly recent book called The Confidence Effect. A well-respected business leader, speaker, author, former TV executive. Is there anything you haven't done, young lady?
I have not been an astronaut or a physician, but go ahead.
There's still time.
Exactly.
You bring a wealth and breadth of knowledge to share some techniques on how women can be heard, be seen,
and bring a lot more confidence to the table. I have a hard time with that. I always feel like I'm bragging.
Thank you for that. And you're right that there's a girls are socialized not to brag. We're told that it's not polite to do that. And when we become women, we find that we think that just working hard is going to get us where we need to be. And so there's a connection point between being competent and good at what you do and making sure other people know you're good at what you do. So, Muhammad Ali just passed.
That
One of my
Ali.
Favorite quotes in the world is Muhammad Ali's quote, "It ain't bragging if you can back it up." And the fact is, what we want women to be able to do is put a voice to their competence and to be able to say things like, "I've got this and I'm the person for this job." And there's a USC study that shows that people like people who positively disclose, who say that they're competent. And there is a very, very clear line between being a bragger and being somebody who's confident.
How do we know if we're crossing that line?
Well, I think, first of all, most women aren't even close to the line anyway. So putting a voice to what you're doing. So for example, when someone gives you a compliment, you know, "You did a great job on that, Marilyn. Great interview yesterday." And you're like, "Oh, I just had a lucky day." Women tend to dismiss when people recognize the quality of their work. So a really good starting point is to just say, "Thank you. It was, you know, I'm glad you liked it." Another thing is that women often don't even speak up when they have an opportunity to talk about their work, and they don't quantify what they do. So here's an example. Somebody says, "What do you do?" And I used to run recruiting for a Fortune 30 company. That was what I did before I retired. And someone says, "Well, I'm just in recruiting." Or, "You know what? I'm in a recruiting function, and we do recruiting for over we get a million resumes a year, and we hire 27,000 people a year as a company." To put real metrics to what you're doing and to quantify the work. So one of the ways you ask the question, how do you know when you've come to that line? Watch people's reactions. Because when people are leaning forward toward you and going, "Oh, tell me more," versus there's no response to the work. The truth is we all have an opportunity to put a voice to our competence. I think it's a practiced skill, and men do this much more comfortably than women do.
Just because of early training?
I think some of it is the way we're socialized. I think it's also that girls, you know, I'm on the board of the Girl Scouts here in the tri-state area. And, you know, there's a lot of research that talks about girls sort of shifting and losing confidence around that teenage years. And so the combination of how we're socialized and then what we tell ourselves, right? There's some negative self-talk that women are more prone to do. And a little bit is how we're received in society. We don't necessarily encourage women to speak up. But here's the thing. What I believe is we can spend time worrying about how we got here, or we can figure out where we go from here.
I'm with you, girlfriend.
And that's where, you know, the book come from and all of the work I do now with women. And I run my own leadership program for women and men. And one of the things we talk about is start where you are. So maybe you have some of those messages. What do you do to get around that? How do you behave differently today?
I'd like to get into your four R's if we can,
sure.
And we'll start there. And of course, if you want to meet Grace, and you certainly should, the Confidence Effect, it's sitting on my desk and I haven't had a chance to read it, but guaranteed it will be a weekend read for me sometime this summer. That was released a couple of weeks ago, ranked in the top 10 women's books on Amazon. TheConfidenceEffectBook.com is where you can get it. And where do we find you, Grace?
So the easiest place to find me is gracekillalay.com. And you can also go to halftheskyleadership.com. Both of those websites will lead you to me and to our leadership programs, which we would be happy to talk to folks about. So you talked about some of the action things that we can do in my four R's. And, you know, I have a 35-year career in human resources. And in all those years, and as the leader of an executive women's program for almost 20 years during my corporate career, these four things sort of kept bubbling up. One was relationships, reputation, results, and resilience. And I think under each of those four categories are all of the qualities for leadership that help us move forward. Some levers you pull more than others. It depends on where you are. So just to touch on those, when we talk about relationships, let me take a quick step back. You had talked about your brand. You have a brand whether you're managing it or not.
I heard you say
right?
that. I love that.
You absolutely do.
Gotta manage it.
Right? You absolutely. And brand and reputation are very often interconnected. And so relationships, the way way you connect with people. But a big part of that is networking, the community of people that we're connected to. And one of the things is women don't necessarily make the effort to network. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm working. I keep my head down. But there's a difference between a network and a support group. If there is wine and crying, you're in a support group. So a network is an exchange of information, power, and opportunity. And to be able to, as women, to connect to someone, even if we don't like her or want to have lunch with her or invite her over to the house, who is there a woman that I know in my circle that has information that I can use, that I can share with her? It's about women lifting women. So networking. If you go to an event and you sit with your girlfriend and you eat a meatball and have a cocktail and you go home, you have not networked. You've had a meatball and a cocktail. If you go to an event and you connect with someone and you say, oh, you're interesting, how can I help you? How can you possibly help me? Then you create an important relationship that can help you in the future. Reputation, your brand, how you show up. What you say is one thing. What you do is something else. What is the credibility that you bring? When I launched a company at 53 years old, most people don't do that, right? Most people are in their career. I was a senior vice president. I had a belief in myself, and I believed that there was work I needed to do that allowed me a broader audience and more freedom to do it. My network and my relationship were the two things that helped me start my business. And it was a rocket ship. I didn't start a company and go, gee, I hope somebody shows up. I went back to my Rolodex. But a big part of that was people took my call because of the credibility. I certainly think that another part of reputation is not only doing things well, but owning when you make a mistake, right? And taking credibility and going, now how do I fix it? Results, you got to deliver. And you've talked about being in radio a long time. You've navigated through lots of
different... It's not because I was sitting and having a meatball and a cocktail.
No, it's not, because you've networked, you've built relationships, and people know that you deliver. You have a quality of your product, right, that people go, I want to be connected to that. There's a reason I wanted to be here today, and a part of that is your relationships, your reputation, and what you deliver. What are the results, the quality? And I think a big one that gets overlooked by a lot of people is your resilience. Do you know how to bounce? What do you do when the wheels come off? One of the true stories that happened to me is I was on a business trip many years ago, and I stood up on an airplane and my skirt fell off. And people said, what did you do? And I said, well, the first thing I did was I picked it back up. And then were those mini staplers we used to carry with us, those little red staplers. And I stapled my skirt to my pantyhose all the way around. And I went through and I set off the metal detector in the airport in Buffalo. Sometimes it's really about picking your skirt back up.
Right.
And it's about stapling it. And it's going until you can get to the next place. And resilience for me is adapting to the environment that's around you, but not getting sucked into it. You know, we just graduated a group of women leaders from our leadership program, Half the Sky, yesterday. This is our 13th cohort since I started in 2013. We have over 400 women who've gone through our program since we started. And so much of the theme of this particular class was resilience. We have people who are in the middle of work transitions because their companies have been acquired. We've had people who've had personal loss because things come at you. It's not just work where you have to have resilience. It's life. Life is more about than just surviving. It's about thriving and creating happiness. That's a big part of what I want to do. And confidence is a part of that. If you are telling yourself you don't deserve more or that this is the life you got handed, so be it, then you aren't driving yourself. You aren't driving to your best purpose. And I know for me, some of that is telling myself I deserve it. And when things are hard, it's how do I show up when the wheels come off? Right. How do I spend my energy? Am I looking at the hole or am I trying to build a ladder?
Guilty. I have knee-jerk reactions. I'm an emotional Irish girl. Any advice on how to keep that stuff in check?
Well, there's a couple things. And, you know, I am half Italian and half Irish. So welcome to my world. So I have a lot of passion, as I like to say. But here's the thing. There's an opportunity to check on what serves us. And there are times the way we express something, you may be completely right, but the way you express it takes you off message, distracts people from what you're trying to do. So I use the analogy of having a dimmer switch, right? Grace Killalea at 100 watts is way too much for most people, right? I need to tone it down. I mean, I am painted with a brighter brush.
Right.
When we are someone who is on the high end of expressive, on that intensity level, what I recommend is, can you take your dimmer switch? And for today, can we bring that down to a 70 watt bulb? How about a 40? And what I've learned, and I think some of this is around self-awareness, self-mastery, and then saying, if I'm behaving this way and I'm not getting the outcome that I want, I have to own the behavior. So for me, I also say, you do not have to buy a ticket to the crazy train. Like, you don't have to get on the train and go all the way to New York when you're spun up. What I say is, through self-awareness, you can get yourself, maybe I got myself to, you know, Newark, I'm going to get off the train here and dial it back. So part of it is adjusting and saying, if I go in full loaded for bear, I'm going to overwhelm people. That's one, just having that awareness. And number two is, when you are there, developing the tools. And some of that is having somebody you trust and value who will say to you, maybe you and I can talk about this offline. One of my favorite questions I give to leaders to ask when someone is with them and they're very spun up, do you need me to help you solve this? Or do you need me to listen? And sometimes when we're high emotives, we just want people to hear us.
Right.
So finding that person who can hear us before we bring all of that energy into an environment where it doesn't serve us is really helpful.
We could go all morning with you, Grace. Unfortunately, we don't have that kind of time. We're going to need to get you back in here. And in the interim, where do we find out what's going on with you?
Look for gracekillalay.com and
follow along.
Follow us. And you can follow me on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter. And both of those places, we list where I'll be speaking and where our events are.
So there's definitely updates.
And absolutely. And if you're interested in our leadership programs, which I'm very, very proud of, our women's program is called Half the Sky Leadership, and our co-ed program is called Quattro Leadership. And we now have over 80 partner companies all over the U.S. that are sending people to our programs.
Well, it's really a pleasure to meet you. Thank you so much for sharing. We didn't even get to building your IPO. There was a lot of things that I wanted to ask you about, but certainly you've given us a lot of food for thought. I'm going to learn how to work that dimmer switch, Grace. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So much.
Thank you.